I have heard a number of prophetic words speaking about how there is a movement among mothers rising up, getting involved, taking back the future of our country because Mama Bear mode has been activated. You guys have seen it. All the schools in the area and the government legislation that is actively trying to steal the minds and steer the hearts of our children into territories that we do not want them to go. And it is not the government's job to parent our children. It is not the school's job to parent our children. It is our job. And we as mothers know that, right? Well, unfortunately, we see all this stuff going on the government level, and it can leave us feeling very powerless and just uncertain what to do. Well, if you are a mom, or even not a mom, just any American who wants to know how to play your part and how to get involved, my episode today is literally for you. Bunny Pounds is a woman, which you will hear about in the episode, but she went from mother and pastor's wife and missionary to an activist and basically a persuasive voice in political circles, and she is making strides over there and has created resources to help every Christian get involved in the government level to whatever degree they can. She creates resources that will help us and also educate believers and our children on how the government is designed to operate, the government was actually designed to protect people of faith, even though they're trying to go the opposite direction with it now. So this is a really crucial episode, especially in light of the primaries that are coming up in March for a lot of states. And so that's why we're putting this episode up now. I'm very excited for you to have it. She has incredible resources for you. I will say nothing more except to let you dive into the episode. Let's go.
Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenalee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this.
Hey, busy mama. I know you may have so many dreams bubbling in your soul, and I want to propose that podcasting could be a good way to get started. If you're a born communicator, a teacher, mentor, or you just have a message you want to get into the world, sitting behind a mic is a really low pressure, low risk way to get started and make a mark. I want to introduce my podcast Plan Mastermind. It's a 10-week journey designed for you with bite-sized steps that fit perfectly into your busy schedule. In just about 5 hours a week, you'll have your podcast live, no joke. I want to invite you to join my supportive, pressure-free space where you will be coached by me to unleash your message into the world. One of my recent students hit number 55 on the US charts within just 2 months of launching her show, and that's not easy to do. And another, working 70 to 90 hours a week, is already reaching listeners in almost a dozen countries. I've created the coaching experience that I really wish I had when I started, and I've packed it with secrets on creating, growing, and monetizing your podcast. Are you ready to turn your dreams into a reality? Let's chat. You can ask all your questions at javawithjenpodcast.org to book a call with me, because your voice deserves to be heard, and I want to help you build your dreams and make them a reality.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode here at Java with Jen. I have a new guest with me, Miss Bunny Pounds, who was introduced to me by my key intercessor, who is connected to the Hollywood Prayer Network. And so Miss Bunny has a really fascinating mission and call to America, which I wanted to bring to you guys in this strategic timing, because as we unfold her story and the role she fills and what she does to serve the body of Christ, you'll begin to see the timing of it with Super Tuesday, which is an election day coming up with the primaries and everything. It's a very important day for moving into the presidential election in November. And so, Bunny, thank you so much for coming on here. I'll read a little bit of your bio, but I think it'll be even more interesting to hear from you about your background.
Well, great to be with you, Jen, and thank you for your voice for so many people. You know, it's so important that we connect prayer with how we live our life, and yeah. You do that. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, so that you guys know a little bit more about Bunny, she's the president of Christians Engaged, which is a statewide nonpartisan ministry that awakens, motivates, and educates and empowers believers in Jesus Christ to pray for their nation and their elected officials regularly, to vote in every election, which impacts their culture, and to engage our hearts in some form of civic education for engagement and the well-being of America. In other words, she helps empower the body of Christ to get involved in our government and the different ways that the government structure affects our daily life, whether that's imagining school boards and all these different levels of civil service. Her experience, though, does not just stop at politics. She's been bivocational and active in Christian ministry since she was 16. Bunny is a Bible teacher and a motivational speaker who has authored 5 books, published worship songs, and church planted with her husband, Tim, for over 10 years. Speaking to the church and the culture, she's a regular contributor to The Stream and has also been published in The Wall Street Journal and Charisma Magazine, among others. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Sciences degree in political science from Dallas Baptist University and an associate degree in theology from Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas. I love Christ for the Nations. She's been married 27 years to Tim, and they have 2 young adult sons, Israel and Ben, and 2 daughter-in-laws as well, and a new grandbaby, Grayson Lee. That's so sweet. I love it. So I want you guys to hear all that because I want you to understand she comes with weighty experience, both in the political circles and her exposures there now, but also ministry and being able to have a valid voice to why we as Christians should be involved here. So we're going to dig into this. Now, listen, for those of you who are listening and you're like, oh, politics is boring, I'm going to turn this up. Don't turn it off. If politics has been boring to you, this just may give you a fresh sense of vision and purpose for the role that you play in society. I think since 2020, it was kind of eye-opening to us how much we didn't know about our government and how it works. I felt very convicted. And also about the important role that we play both in our vote in getting involved in prayer. So, Bunny, I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to let you talk now. But why don't you share with us a little bit about how did you, as a minister and someone with a mission in missions, you had a vision for doing missions, you have kids, you're a housewife, you know, or a whatever, all the different things that you've done that we can relate to as a mom and a wife. How did you get into government and politics and take up this vision?
Yeah, Jen, I went to Bible school when I was 18, 19, and we're trained at Christ for the Nations to be world changers and to go take the world for Jesus. And so, you know, that's what I planned on doing. And then my best friend proposed over pancakes one day at the International House of Pancakes, IHOP. And all of a sudden, I'm getting married and I'm having little babies and I'm running a pest control company. And I'm like, okay, God, where is the being the world changer fit into this whole agenda? Because we really, sometimes we underestimate the value of our life. We underestimate what we're doing in the mundane, doing dishes, doing laundry, taking care of our children, running businesses. And, you know, we were giving, you know, to foreign missions, but man, God was doing something in my heart. And I kept crying out, how can I be a voice? How can I make a difference in this country, in America, in this generation, right? Yeah. I think that's all of our cry if we're believers is to make a difference and to leave a legacy. So I was listening to talk radio. I listened to a woman named Laura Ingraham. Many people probably heard of Laura. She's on Fox News now. But she would do these funny little comedy skits and talk about the unborn. And she talked about really serious issues, even in the midst of a pretty hilarious show, really. And it started hitting me, man, there are so many major issues here, whether it was religious liberty, the sanctity of human life issue, issues with Israel, our national debt that was skyrocketing out of control. Mm-hmm. And back then it was only $3 trillion, not $34 trillion,
yep,
like we see 20 years later. So, I mean, there were so many issues and I'm like, God, how can I make a difference? And how can I really study an issue and change something? So I started getting involved. I went to my precinct convention, which you mentioned Super Tuesday. We're going to have primaries all over in about 20 different states are going to have primary elections on Super Tuesday, which is March 5th. And we're going to have to make choices and voting in primaries, but there's also a way you can get involved in the political parties. And so I showed up at my precinct convention that's usually held after the primary vote. I was the only one to show up. So I voted myself in as a delegate to the state convention, and I voted in my resolution to the platform that I wanted changed. And I ended up going down to San Antonio that year. It was 2004 by myself. And I was a 28-year-old mom. And I just went around that state convention and met people. And the Texas state convention is larger than the national convention, if you've ever watched that on TV.
Wow.
And so I'm going and I'm testifying in front of a platform committee on a homeschool issue. And what captured my heart was one person can make a difference. Mm. One testifying in front of a platform committee, one resolution going from a precinct to a Senate convention, to a state convention, to the national convention can change the platform and make sure our biblical values stay in the party apparatus. And so, you know, if you told me, you know, that was, you know, 20 years ago, that 16 years later, I would be nominated with David Barton to represent Texas on the national platform, I would have laughed at you. But that's what God does. He takes little things that we do, little steps of obediences, and he moves forward and uses our life. And so that turned into me going back to college, finishing my bachelor's in political science as a homeschooling mom, and then working for a member of Congress for 10 years, running his campaign, and then starting my own consulting firm and becoming one of the largest GOP consulting firms in Texas before I ran for Congress in 2018. Wow. So you never know where God's going to take you. It's fun.
That's incredible. When I love how you just illustrated how just taking one step at a time takes you on a path that you would not have anticipated that it takes you on. And that's what I feel like is the key of, like, when we talk a lot on the show about hearing God's voice, you were doing what you felt was responsive to. I don't know if you felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, do this, or if you were just responding to conviction in your heart, which I feel like are often one and the same.
Yes. Well, and that's a key point. I think so many times we pray about issues or we carry burdens. You know, we'll be watching Fox News or CNN or whatever we watch, and we are like struck that there's something wrong with this picture, right? There's injustice happening, or there's lawlessness happening, or there's something happening that's concerning to us. Mm. But so often we kind of push that to the side, or we go, that's for somebody else to handle. Or we let it get us angry instead of really taking that to the place of prayer and intercession and partnering with God and finding out, talking to Jesus. Hey, what do you think about what's happening on the border? Yeah. What do you think about what's happening with the national debt? What do you think? And then how can I be a voice and make a difference in those issues? Yeah. And so that's where it started with me, Jen. And now we help Christians all over the country be able to identify those burdens in their heart and activate for the purpose of America.
That's so good. And I think something I want to call out that is super relevant here that I think a lot of believers don't, maybe have never even thought about. We usually think about, like, oh yes, I know God has a call and an anointing on my life. Like, we think of it on an individual basis, and you maybe even consider it when you think about your family. Like, yeah, my family has a calling. My family has an anointing. Most people don't even make it that far. They just think about the maybe call and anointing on their life. But what a lot of people don't realize is that principle carries over cities, over regions, and over nations as well. And so your city may have a specific calling in the grand scheme of your state or even the world platform. Your state may have a calling. That's why you've got states that have almost like personalities, you know, where like Texas is known for being very, what's the word? Proud of America, patriotic and independent, you know, but we're also pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and get her done, you know, like, that's part of the mandate on Texas. And so we have a mandate on America to be a mission sending, missions funding nation. I heard it said a lot, especially in 2020, that Israel is the only nation that God came and made a covenant with them. But America is a nation that made a covenant with God. And yes. And we have a mandate to honor that. And there's a calling there that I think a lot of times God is waiting for us to seize and to step into and play our part in. And a lot of that comes through intercession, but a lot of people over-spiritualize things and negate the practical applications of getting involved in voting, getting involved on political levels, just even if you don't want to run for office, helping someone who is running for office on a local level. And so why should Christians be involved in this political circles, especially when there's this idea floating around of separation of church and state that has kind of gotten skewed way further than it was ever intended?
Good question. And let me say, people take that comment of separation church and state completely out of context.
Yeah.
So Thomas Jefferson was writing a letter to the Danbury Baptists. I want to remind everybody that the 13 colonies of the United States were formed by faith people, religious people. Every colony had it was almost like its own denomination, right? Mm-hmm. You had the Catholics in one, you had the Quakers in one, you had the Lutherans in one, you know, so he's writing, Thomas Jefferson is writing to the Danbury Baptists that are worried that if they create a federal government, will the federal government infringe upon their right of worship? Mm-hmm. Will it change their religious expression? Because remember, they all came over here to America or to the, you know, the New World, escaping King George trying to put on a state religion, a state church, right? And they wanted to worship how they wanted to worship. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson's actually talking about the separation, the wall of separation between the government and the church, that the government would not infringe upon the rights of the church, not the other way around.
Wow.
So people in, you know, the crazy Twitter world, I'll just say that, throw this thing around of separation, church and state, all, you know, that we as believers shouldn't be involved in government, or we can't pray at a city council meeting. Mm-hmm. They can't start a city council meeting with prayer, or you can't have the 10 commandments on the wall of a public school. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely ridiculous. The whole foundation of our nation was founded on people that read the Bible every day, kids in schools that learn the Bible as their number one reading primer, right? The foundations of our conscience and our law and everything, justice, is founded on biblical principles. Mm. So number one, understanding that fallacy and fighting against it. Yeah. Number two, we all have a responsibility, Jen, to do three things. Here at our ministry, Christians Engage, we talk about pray, vote, and engage. And I'll talk through these real quick.
Go ahead.
Number one, we're called to pray. Mm-hmm. First Timothy talks about, the Apostle Paul talked to the early church and said, please pray, intercede, supplications be made for all men, those all in authority, all kings and all who are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life, mm-hmm. that it was pleasing to God, and that they were doing it for the sake of salvation to the ends of the earth, right? So we have a responsibility to pray for our elected officials, regardless of whether they have an R or a D behind their name. Yeah. We have a responsibility to pray for our city, state, nation. As you just said, that was a key point you just made, that we have places of geography that God's placed us in.
Yeah.
In 2020, there was a distinct difference between those of us that live in Collin County and those of us who lived in Dallas County in Texas, mm. because of the leadership that was over those two counties right next to each other, but one was in complete freedom and one was clamped down. Mm. So again, even where you live, there are geography things that you need to be praying into.
Yeah.
Secondly, we should be all voting. Everybody should love their neighbor enough to elect righteous leaders.
Yes.
Proverbs 29:2 talks about, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked man rules, the people groan. Mm-hmm. Righteous doesn't mean perfect. Righteous means people that have accepted the gospel, that have a biblical worldview, that are pursuing righteousness, pursuing wisdom, pursuing discernment. Mm-hmm. And those can be different levels.
Yeah.
But a person that is standing up and saying, I am not going to promote anything that the Bible says, we're going against that in every way. We're going to say, If your little girl is a girl, we want to change that little girl into a boy, you know, and indoctrinate them in that way. If they're pursuing wickedness in that fashion, those people, I'm sorry, should not be elected.
Right.
And so we have a responsibility to discern our ballot. We can get more into that in practical ways. And then vote for righteous leaders, because that affects your neighbor. It affects your town. It affects your county. It affects your state. And then thirdly, everybody in the church needs to be actively going outside the walls of the church. We always talk about the church needs to leave the building. We need to take the presence of God in, and then we need to go out with the presence of God. But how many of us, Jen, really open our mouth outside the walls of the church, where we pray for somebody in the grocery store, or we go into our chamber of commerce, or we impact our city council members? Very few of us do that. And so we want to call the church to go into these places of influence in our communities. Be the president of your homeowners association.
Yeah.
You know, go to your Rotary Club, pray for people, speak the truth over them, love on them, do acts of service. We can make a huge impact as the body of Christ if we get outside the building. And don't be afraid to get involved in what people say is political, those school boards and city councils and that kind of thing. So we actually train Christians how to actively involve, get involved in all those spaces, and to do it with excellence.
That's so good. I love that. I want to make 2 points. One, that when people, I've heard people get really hung up on presidential nominees that maybe are not refined. They don't act like a pastor. And I want everyone to understand there's a distinction. You cannot have a pastor running, well, okay, that's going to come out wrong. What I'm saying is your presidential nominee is not your pastor. He's going to have a different function. He's in the arm of establishing justice, bringing order, bringing structure, going to war. Like, he is in a different kind of a job than what your pastor is in. Your pastor is a counselor and a shepherd. It's just different. And a lot of people get so hung up, and I know that a lot of people have talked about this and with particular candidates, like, oh, they just run their mouth all the time. And I understand how unattractive that is and how unappealing. And as a leader, we're like, have some class. But at the same time, you have to be able to look past superficial issues and look at the values that they are building. If they are pro-Israel, which we know God is, if they are pro-life, which we know God is, if they're pro the family unit, which we know God is, if they're pro-border security, because that brings order. God was all about border security in the Bible. Like, they built walls around their cities, and there was order and structure, and there's justice that comes in that place. And so you have to look at the values that they're genuinely pushing and passionate about, and that their history in government have verified that that's what they're all about, and not just be distracted by their personality. Personalities come and go, but their values really, really, really matter. And so I wanted to say,
Jen, can I take you on the road with me? That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was awesome. A great way, because Jesus is not on the ballot. I say it all the time.
Yeah.
We're choosing between imperfect candidates, imperfect people. But, you know, I tell people, vote your conscience in the primaries. In the primaries, vote for the exact person you want. But when we get to the general election, you have to vote platforms. What are the platforms of the political parties? And what are the values that they hold? And how does those connect to your biblical values? You can't vote on personality. Otherwise, you're going to get hung up and you're not going to vote for anybody. And oh, by the way, the president of the United States puts in thousands of people in the executive branch, hires all of the cabinet, all the treasury secretary, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, you name it, all of it is put in by the president. So that one little vote is going to impact your entire national and federal government, right?
Yeah, so good. And really, I feel like, and this was my second point, was looking at their values is essentially kind of like looking at the fruit that will be produced by them being in office. Because even in the Old Testament, God chose Cyrus, who was a heathen king, did not serve God. He was not a believer. He was not like Abraham as my forefather. He was a heathen king that did not believe in the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Israel. And yet God used him to free the Israelites. He still used him in that regard. And so God can use people with personalities, or even they may not be a Christian, but you still have to look at their values that they are going to implement and establish in the nations, because that is essentially the impact that they're going to make. And it's so important, so important not to be distracted.
So important. Yes. So. And I tell you, I mean, we're all humans. We all struggle with this, right? I mean, it's been a brutal primary right now, and it's hard to just look, you know, we're not getting sometimes what we want. And so we can just throw up our hands and give up, or we can go back to the, and start praying for those people again. Reminder, prayer is where it starts, and it should begin and end. But then making those choices. But the other thing is, a lot of people don't realize that half the body of Christ does not vote. Half of them are not registered to vote. Half of them are not voting. And we have a real apathy in our country. So, you know, we saw a little bit of an upturn in 2016 with people that call themselves born again Christians, maybe a 2% uptick from the general public. But that is it. When we're talking about primaries, when we're talking about city elections, only 1-6% of Americans that are registered to vote, vote in city elections.
Yeah.
Only 8-12% vote in primaries. I mean, these guys are places we can have exponential impact.
Yeah.
And so we want to call people to start voting in every election. Can you imagine a young woman such as yourself making that commitment to vote in every election for the rest of your life and getting 10 or 20 people to do the same? Yeah. If we all did that, this would look like a different country in 20 years.
It would absolutely would, you know. And I feel like I remember, I want to say maybe it was the 2020 election or 2016. I want to say it was 2020, that it was like either the 50 or the 100 year anniversary of women having the right to vote.
Yes.
Was that, am I getting this? Yeah. 2020. Okay. Yeah. And so I remember I was standing in line to vote, and I thought about the fact that it had only been just a handful of decades since people died so that I could stand in that line. Like, people actually died so I could have the right to stand in that line and cast my vote. So when I think about it, it makes me emotional even right now, because it was such a sacrifice that people made so that we could have a voice. And it does break my heart that we have people in the body, and people who, whether they're Blacks and they were not able to vote before women, you know, and then women having the right, there's so many people who have the right to vote that is on the back of people that died, fathers and brothers and sons. Whew, sorry, I didn't expect to cry over that.
Yeah.
But it's so important that we make sure that we are seizing the opportunity while we have it. I don't plan on running for office anywhere. I don't feel like the Lord's ever put that on my radar, but he's always free to change that at any point in my life. But I don't feel like that's the mountain I'm called to, but I'm absolutely going to be praying, and I'm absolutely going to be voting, because that's the power I do hold in my little life mission to make a difference. And I think that's all we can be responsible for, is doing what the Lord has put in front of you and given you the power to do. And voting is one of those things. So
Your voice, Jen, I will say, you know, you are engaging too. You're using your voice to speak, even doing this podcast today, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody has something. They can create a blog chronicling what's happening in their city. Mm-hmm. They can be the person that opens up their home for the homeschool association in town. They can be the one that's helping with the homelessness problem. Pick your burden. But yeah. I want to just say, God is speaking to every single person. Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we're not in tune with what he's saying. But I guarantee you, if you sat down, every person listening to us right now, and go, what am I supposed to do if I'm called in America to America right now? I'm not going to a foreign country. So I'm here. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here in this generation. What is my lane to be working in? God will show you. He is faithful to do that. But he's calling us to be leaders and disciple makers in this moment.
That's so true. And I agree with you. And it's never meant to be complicated. The way God does things, I have found, is always simple. And it usually is more simple than we think it's going to be. And yet we overlook those simple things that we can do. So for someone who's listening, that maybe they're like I was for a while, which was kind of out of touch. Like, you know, sixth grade was a long time ago when I learned how the government worked. And as an adult, you have a totally different lens. And we talked about this in our previous interview. where I mentioned like watching West Wing and Madam Secretary and Designated Survivor, watching those shows gave me more understanding and context of how the government works. And that's embarrassing to admit that. But at the same time, I appreciate that those shows serve that purpose for me. So for someone who's listening, how can you make simple, like maybe this year, this is an election year. So what's coming? What can we be preparing for? Obviously, we want to be praying. But when it comes to votes and how to get involved, we have Super Tuesday, and apparently those vary state to state. So help us understand that a little bit moving into the main election in November.
Well, one thing we've done through our ministry, Christians Engage, is we're national now. We have the only Christian, nonpartisan kind of get out the vote system for the church in all 50 states. So we have Christians that go, you know what? I'm waking up. I'm Jen. I'm waking up and I want to pray regularly. I want to vote regularly and I want to start engaging. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a pledge on our website called Take the Pledge, simply Take the Pledge. And people take the pledge. Okay. And then we send you a weekly prayer, a video, a scripture to pray, you know, spend 5 minutes a week praying for your nation. I know that sounds like a huge lift, but you'd be shocked at how much of a blessing that is to your own life, to not just be praying about your own needs constantly. God hears our cry for our own needs when we're after the business of what he's called us to do.
Yeah.
So just turning our thoughts and our minds and our prayers onto something that's not just about us is such a good thing. Secondly, we send voting reminders. So when early voting starts, when early voting ends, 3 days before the election and on election day, the people that take our pledge get our five-step guide to the Texas primary, or the five-step guide to the Pennsylvania primary, or the five-step guide to your local election, whatever it is. So this year we have primaries. We also have local elections. If people are listening to us in Texas, your local elections are either in May, the first Saturday in May, or they're in November during the general election, frankly. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the county, but most people have May local elections. And again, these elections are so important. Your mayors, your city council, your school boards, it is crucial. Yeah. And then we have a general presidential election. This is the one everybody's going to be focusing on. Mm-hmm. But I would like to make the case that primary in March and that local election is almost more important, if not more important, than the presidential.
Wow.
And so we send a simple guide to help you print off your ballot, research your ballot. If you go through our five little steps and you take 20 or 30 minutes to research your ballot, you're going to go 99% more informed than anybody else.
Wow.
Last city election, I had just moved from Garland, Texas to Richardson, Texas. And we had lived in Garland, which is a suburb of Dallas-Fort Worth, for 25 years. So I knew the people in my city, especially since I'm politically involved. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know anybody in Richardson. And I had to do the same thing I'm telling everybody else to do. And it took me, I have to admit, it took me about 45 minutes to research my ballot. But you know what I found? I looked at their websites. I looked at their social media feeds. I looked at who had endorsed them. And I found different things. There was this one guy running for city council. Well, he had his arm around his husband, right? And he went to a United Methodist church. So you can discern things, right? One guy was a coach, had been a coach for years and years and years, and he was endorsed by all these different conservative groups. You can see just by looking at what they say they believe, what's on their website, and the people that are endorsing them, kind of their flavor. And you can pray and ask God for discernment, and I guarantee you, he will show you. So then we make the hard choices. We have to circle who we're going to vote for. But let me just say this too, Jen. People are so afraid about they don't want to make a mistake. So they don't vote. I don't want to make a mistake. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to choose the wrong person, probably. Let me just throw that out. But not every time and not every race.
Yeah.
And then if you get it wrong, you just vote against them the next time, you know, you vote for somebody else.
Yeah.
So don't everybody just stop beating themselves up about either being apathetic or not knowing enough and just ask God to help you on this journey. And I guarantee you he will.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
That's for sure. I know done is better than perfect, right? And I know that could sound a little careless or reckless, but at the same time, if perfection is going to keep people from moving, you got to throw that off and you just got to move. I'm particularly excited about your resources because in past elections, I have felt like I was flying blind. I didn't know what website to go to. I didn't know where to do my research. I didn't even know this last election. I had to post on Facebook and ask people, where do I go to vote? Because I didn't even know where to find the list of the places, you know? And so I don't know why it feels like there's such a lack of communication when it comes to voting. I don't know if it's just I'm not in touch with it or if it's really that hard to find, but I'm pretty intelligent and I pretty much do my research. And if I was struggling, I'm sure lots of other people were. And so I'm really excited about the resources that you've pulled together, especially that they're through the lens of faith values. Am I safe in assuming that?
Correct. We're nonpartisan. We don't endorse candidates or political parties. We just show you how to find the information. We have 50 state pages on our website. And the last thing we do, Jen, is we train people in. We have spent over $200,000 on on-demand video curriculum, teaching people how to get civically involved. Wow. So our signature product is our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar. It's awesome. It's 6.5 hours of just amazing how to take a Christian from point A to point Z to get involved. And then we have a curriculum on local government. We have one on Austin 101. We have so many great classes, Bible teachings on the hot topics. And then my book's out. I don't know if you were going to mention that, Yay! But my book, Jesus in Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession, is out nationwide. And we hit number one last week on two categories, Aww. Thanks to the 700 Club. So
congratulations. I was on the
700 Club. Yeah. So God's good. But that is also a great way for people to start, again, praying through what God's given them to do. Everyone has a place and everybody can do something. And we want to help them, mentor them through that process here at Excellent. Our ministry at Christians Engaged.
I love it. Okay. So with that, as for everyone who's listening, we're going to give you your next steps. Your next steps is go check out her book, Jesus in Politics. I love it. I love that it was number one. Congratulations. That's a major accomplishment. And then two, go check out their website and sign up for the alerts and for the information. And then step three, if you're a really overachiever, I would look into their curriculum. And I would say that's even probably good for maybe private Christian schools that would be looking for something.
Absolutely. We have strategic ministry partnerships with schools, local churches, people that want to teach these classes in their homes. But yeah, the On-Ramp to Civic Engagement Seminar, awesome. Check that out. We partner with our friends at Time to Revive and First Liberty Institute for some amazing content there. And then all of our other classes, Biblical Justice, Biblical Economics, Biblical Worldview will be out soon. Okay. So we've got so many great classes to teach people what the Bible says on the topic and then how to get involved with government.
Okay. And your website is?
ChristiansEngaged.org. Christians with an S, engaged with a D.org. So okay. Take the pledge to pray, vote, and engage, and you'll start getting our stuff.
Amen. Okay. Well, I'm going to put the link to her book and to her website down in the show notes. So if you guys are driving right now and you can't get to it, you can always go back to it. But just remember ChristiansEngaged.org. And I would encourage those of you who are listening, share her site on your social media, because right now is the time everyone's going to be getting I'm already getting political texts in my, in my text messages. Yep. It's already stirring up. And so let's get this resource into people's hands. I have a Facebook group that's for people who are praying for America, and it's got 300 or 400 people in it. And so I'm going to share this stuff with them in that Facebook group as well. Bunny, thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for your obedience to the Lord. Thank you for being a resource for things I've been looking for. I appreciate that. And just for your voice, for doing the playing the part that you can play for our country. I am so grateful.
Thank you, Jen. Well, we're here to people that are being awakened to find your place, and we want to help you, mentor you through that process. So we are your resource. Check us out. And all of it is about the gospel going to the ends of the earth. If America's liberties are not protected, guys, we will not have the resources. We will not have the freedom to allow the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. So that's why we exist. Mm-hmm. I wish a civic engagement ministry didn't have to exist, but the body of Christ has to get active. For the sake of the gospel. So that's why we're here.
It's so good. I appreciate it. Well, you guys, thanks so much for listening. Share this with a friend. Share this episode on your social media. Get the word out. It's very simple ways that you can play your part in getting the word into other people's hands. And make sure you are subscribed to Java with Jen everywhere that you listen to your podcast. You can also come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen. Say hey. And until next time, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course, by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.